Well, glory.
Yeah.
That's a little reminiscent of my father. You guys hungry for the word?
Amen.
How many dwelt on God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. Be still and know that He is God. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. The name above all names, Father. Thank you for the time that we've just got to experience. We got to experience You, Lord. It's as if we were in the throne room singing praises and singing worship to You. We owe all to You, Lord. And Father, I ask right now that through the power of the Holy Spirit that You would speak through me, that You would be glorified, Lord. Only that which You want spoken come out, Lord, that Your word would go out. It does not return void. That I would be a vessel of honor used for the Master's use. And that the body would be built up and edified to face this world, Lord, that You are going to put back into order. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn to Psalm 27. Could you pick up a theme with all the music? Let's read. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. For I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When You said, seek my face, my heart said to You, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me Your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a powerful, powerful psalm. I've been in Psalms just last week. I made a comment about a song that comes up out inside you. You talk about the praises coming up inside you. There's a song that you, the believer, have inside you that rises up and you sing praises to God for what He's done. And so I read through this psalm and I thought back about a little over a month ago, month and a half ago. I had a doctor's appointment. I shared this with you, but it was a routine physical. I had a routine physical, and although I am not in the shape that I once was when I played football, right, honey? I still consider myself to be in decent shape. Got a little more LBs now, but I had my routine conversation with the doctor. Told him all that was wrong, other than my back. Everything else feels pretty decent. I feel good. did the checkup, did the blood test, did urine tests. I left the doctor's office. I assumed all was well. All was good. Then all of a sudden I got a call from the doctor's office 2 days later. And my test results were in. And suddenly I was being referred to a renal doctor for kidneys. I was overwhelmed suddenly with all types of thoughts. Like, why do I need to go see a doctor about kidneys? Well, it could be kidney damage. Suddenly my mind started to get bombarded with thoughts. But I called and I made up the follow-up appointment with the renal doctor. And luckily there was an opening like 2 days later, right? So otherwise it was going to be a month. I could not imagine waiting a month to go see this doctor. I am someone who wants results immediately, like now, as many probably of you are the same. I remember going to the doctor when I had a cyst on my stomach, and he's like, that can't be drained. We're just going to have to cut it out. And I said, great, let's do it right now. Come on. Like, I don't want a follow appointment. Cut it out. Let's go. We did that, and then Jen was laughing at me in the car, and every time I hit a bump, because I'd be like, ah, you know, like I would pick her up from the train. Remember that? That was pretty funny. But back to the story. I had scheduled the appointment. I had made that decision at that point when I scheduled the appointment that the thoughts were not going to consume me, the thoughts of fear. I started quoting scripture, right? Meditating on the scripture, and I started praying. Every time my mind would veer negative, no, I would speak against it. So fast forward, I meet with the renal doctor, and he asks questions, and he shares with me. He tells me his concerns. He says, you need additional testing. But before I even go into to meet with the doctor, the receptionist hands me this pamphlet. She's like, you need to read this before the appointment goes in. So, like, I'm sitting in the waiting room for 15, 20 minutes. You talk about prepping somebody. I'm reading all this literature, and I'm reading all the effects that permanent kidney damage can do to different degrees and different levels, how you have a limited diet, and it's permanent for life. The ways of life moving forward were forever going to be changed. Needless to say, after reading that, and I'm in the room now, the patient room, and I'm looking, and there's more pamphlets and pictures and all these different things. And needless to say, they take my vitals, and my blood pressure is like exploded through the roof, right? Like, I'm like, I'm anxious, fear. And the bottom line is, the doctor comes in, he's like, I'm not 100% sure. It could be nothing, it could be very much something. I need to do more work. I need to do more blood work, more urine tests. Could be nothing, could be something. So prior to this doctor's appointment over the last 2 days, my faith's strong. I'm good, right? I'm speaking the word, I'm praying. And suddenly I did not get the news or feedback I wanted immediately. And the next thing I know, circumstances and fear are dictating my expression. My mind was bombarded and my defense system was down. The thought started to take hold. A stronghold was suddenly forming in my mind. And what did I do next? I Googled kidney damage on WebMD. That's a wrong move, right? How many of you, am I speaking to anybody here? Yeah, I know I'm speaking to you. For 2 days, 2 days, folks. And I'm sharing this story because we all have different stories, but 2 days, I'm overcome with fear. I'm overcome with fear. I'm like, wow, this could be really bad. What I read on WebMD and that pamphlet, like kidney damage that could eventually kill you early. I mean, my mind wanders to my kids, my wife, like, oh my gosh, this is serious. Satan was having a great time with it. Probably no different than when Peter denied Christ, right? He was overwhelmed with fear at that point when he denied. Remember the little girl that was standing there in front of him? You were one of those disciples. No, not me. Finally, Jen and I prayed. Remember praying at that point? I asked God for peace. You know, I can't control things. He's in control. Direct my steps, Lord. Keep me vertical. Don't look me look horizontal. Keep my mind stayed on you. And either way, you're going to get glory out of this, Lord. Whether it's something that I need to deal with the rest of my life, Lord, that you would be glorified however you see it, Lord. I went back to what I did pre-renal doctor, which was going back quoting scripture. Went back to what I did quoting Psalm 1, quoting Proverbs 3, Romans 8. Nothing separates me from the love of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. God, you're with me. You never forsake me. Well, I was told I was going to get the results the following week, but that Friday I got a message at home, left a message at 4:30 at home, and the tests were negative. There was no kidney damage. Hallelujah. God was glorified. In either way, but God was glorified. And I shared that testimony with you a few weeks ago, but I wanted to give you the whole story because at that point, Jen and I gave praises to God. I said, praise the Lord. And I shared that. And I shared it immediately then in the office. No one else knew what was going on. And we were praising our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all weekend. And the point of this story is to relate to each and every one of you that we are often, as humans, gripped by fear. We're overwhelmed with stress and anxiety when news comes our way. And we see here in this psalm where David was dealing with fear, and he shows us how to approach fear. Even with the solution, we see that the human nature we all deal with rises up. In this psalm, you could see it. At the beginning, he's in full confidence in verse 3, but then suddenly verse 7, he's crying out again, right? He's crying out to the Lord. He's fretful. He's anxious. But suddenly, he redirects his focus to the Lord. And David is saying, this is the way. It's the only way. It's not one moment, it's a lifetime journey of staying and looking at your Lord and Savior, eyes focused on him. And you're not going to be perfect. You're going to veer. You're going to veer. We cling to our faith in God in both good, which is pretty easy when things are good. Sometimes we get the temptation to just be like forgetting about God, but it's a little easier to cling to know to God versus the bad situations. Then all of a sudden, our foundations get shaken, and then all of a sudden we start turning back to God to trust and to wait on him. You know, David was God's chosen leader. He was anointed, and he was a powerful warrior. He was the boy who protected his flock, killing the bear and lion, right? He was the boy who stands in the might of God and takes on the champion Philistine Goliath. When all the rest of the army was scared to death, he and the Israel army, the mighty men of valor, had won many battles, right? What were the people singing? Saul kills 1,000, David kills 10,000. A powerful warrior. With so much success, he very easily could be standing in his own might. In his own strength. Am I speaking to anybody here today? Yet what does verse 1 say? The Lord, not David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, not David. I'm the strength of my life. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David is stating your faith in Christ alone is the strength of your life. It is not your personal might. It is not your personal strength. It will fail you. I find that my strength is not what it was when I just graduated college at the peak. My strength has subsided. As you get older, you lose your strength. It will fail you. Trusting in yourselves, trusting in man, trusting in the world will result in failure at some point. David is stating trust in the Lord alone. It seems simple, but sometimes we just need to hear it to be reminded. And that is how you overcome fear. I actually have a couple of points for you, four of them actually this time. But When fear comes, recall your faith in what Christ has done for you and I. If you are in Christ, then who is for you? God is for you. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Psalm 118, 5 through 9, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, our leaders. You should pray for them. Don't put your confidence in a political party, a leader, a country leader. That's what's going to happen, folks, in Revelation. The world will put their confidence in a man who will seem to have all the answers. Where peace and safety and then sudden swift destruction is called the Antichrist. The only fear you should have is the reverential fear of your Maker alone. For he alone is on your side. That gives you confidence and hope to say what David says. Your confidence is that blessed hope we sang about. Hallelujah. Praise the one who sets me free. And he says here in the psalm, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For when the wicked came against me, it doesn't say like if the wicked, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army encamped around me, they surrounded me. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. In what? The salvation that the Lord has provided for me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is the hope you cling to. Point two, when fear comes crashing in, go vertical, not horizontal. Focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the enemy. Don't focus on the circumstances. He says the enemy surrounded me. That's what I mean by horizontal. Look, you know, the enemy surrounded me. Which way are you looking? You're looking horizontal. I'm saying look vertical. Look vertical. Don't look at your circumstances. He says in verse 4, one thing I have desired, Lord, that will I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. How can you behold the beauty? You need to look upon him. And to inquire in his temple, for the time and trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now, because of that, and now, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. All around me. They're all around me, but my head is above them. Why? Because I'm looking up to him. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. What happened when Paul and Silas were in prison? They stayed vertical. They praised the Lord. Prison chains came loose. The jail cell. Lord was glorified. The prison guard was saved and his family. Do you see the importance here, folks? Do you remember the Elijah story? For some of you that were here, Elijah, we spent a long time on Elijah. He called down fire from heaven. He sees God work in a mighty way. He stands in the power of his might against 400 prophets of the grove, 700, I forget what the numbers were now. He actually afterwards runs faster than the chariots. Then suddenly the word of Jezebel struck fear in him. Do you remember? I'm going to kill you. And his focus suddenly changed from God vertically to his circumstances and to fear horizontally. It's all 1 Kings chapter 19. Read that passage. He's saying, I'm the only one left. You remember? You remember him petitioning for God? I'm the only one left. Just take my life, God. And God tells him in the still small voice, no, you're not the only one left. There's a remnant. And then he was restored and he was built back up. See, the fear, fear dictated his expression. I made the comment during that sermon, like, whatever you fear becomes your master. And fear and circumstances became his master at that point. His focus changed. If the Lord is your master, then what? Right? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You got to get a hold of this, folks. You got to get a hold of this. And that's I was talking about last week, recalling these things. Get your mind stayed. David is saying, listen, I want to dwell with my Lord in his house forever. He's praying, Lord, take me out of this place. Yeah, when circumstances come our way, when fear grips us, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I don't want to be in the midst of it. It's okay to pray those things. Help me escape my enemies. But more importantly, I want to keep my eyes on you, Lord. I want to behold your beauty, Lord. And as fear comes in, let that fear drive you deeper. Let that fear drive you deeper into knowing and experiencing your Savior on a whole nother level, right? The more you get to know him, we just spent a year on knowing him, right? Those experiences drive you more in touch with your Savior. He's fully acquainted, folks. He's fully acquainted with what you're dealing with. He knows how anxiety and fear can overtake you. 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The perfect illustration of this, Matthew 14:22-33, immediately Jesus, after sermon, made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he alone was there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, this is late night, early morning. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. That's what it says. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. What is Jesus? What does John say he is? He's the Word. He's the Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God, spoke to them. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. What builds you up? It's the Word of God. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He's looking vertically, metaphorically speaking, okay? He's looking at Jesus. But what happens? We know the story. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, the waves started to come crashing in. He started to look horizontal, and he was afraid. And what happens? He began to sink. No different than my story. My eyes were on Jesus. They took off focus, and suddenly I began to sink in my own despair, in the miry muck. And he was afraid. But what did he do? As he's sinking, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him. Truly, you are the Son of God. See, even when fear overtakes you, your God is there, and he's your very present help in time of trouble. That's what you learned last week, Psalm 46. As a result, be still and know that I'm God. Quit striving. He's in control. He will be exalted and glorified out of your experiences. What did they do when fear overtook them? God was glorified because Peter looked to him as his very present help. Peter casted his care to Christ at the moment of need. And I guess the biggest thing I would say is, he knew the source. At least that's the story. We all look at Peter like, oh, what a failure on Peter. He's walking on water, folks. Come on. I mean, that's a pretty awesome testimony, even though he started to sink eventually. I wonder how many of us would even get out of the boat. I see you, Lord, but or maybe the water's too cold, right, Katie? Put your toes in. Rise above your fear. Rise above your enemies. Change your focus. Change your future. You guys remember that passage? You remember that story? Remember that sermon my dad preached? Change your focus. Change your future for some of you that have been here long time. Go vertical, not horizontal. Point number three. Repeat and redirect vertically in prayer. See, our human nature, we see it here in the passage that fear comes back knocking, right? It comes back knocking. I was fine, and then all of a sudden, it came back, right? Satan knows how to push those buttons. He knows how to push those buttons. He knows how to push a thought, an image, a word that suddenly can shift your focus. Peter knew that all too well, right? Right? The girl by the fire. Hey, he's one of the disciples. Not me. Not me. I never knew him. When that moment happens, and it has happened to each and every one of us, we think we are past the moment. We think we've conquered the situation. What have we done? We've probably taken control back ourselves. We're no longer abiding in the Lord. We're abiding in our own strength. We've forgotten what our first love was, and all of a sudden fear comes back in, or something new comes creeping in. Go back and do your first love again. Seek him. Recall your faith. Go vertical, seeking him in prayer. And that's in this passage. He cries out in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" He's having communion with him. He's praying. Praying is not just us speaking. Praying is us listening to the voice of the Father. "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me," that's man failing you, "then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witness has risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." What better way than to commune with your Lord and Savior? Talk to him. It's prayer. Shift your focus vertically to your Lord and Savior. Cry out to him. Psalm 121, 1-3, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." He's not sleeping on the job. He's there. He knows. Stand on the promises of his words. I see some of the cross in that passage there. In that verse 9, our Lord and Savior, when he took the wrath of God upon him, he took on the forsaking of God the Father, the separation from his Father, whom he loved dearly. He took on that separation so that we could be justified by faith in Christ alone, reconciled back to God. So by grace we are saved through faith in Christ. As a result, that grace is sufficient for you and I. It's his empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. On our own, fear conquers us. In him and through his grace, you are more than a conqueror. Therefore, approach the throne in your time of need in prayer and petitions. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, because of what Jesus did. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. So as a result of that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help" what? "In the time of need." You guys are just looking. Yeah? Okay. Okay, Pastor. I get it. I'm talking about building you guys up right now. That's what the Word is doing. It's building you up for a time that's to come. In addition to prayer, the psalmist says, seek his ways. Verse 11, teach me your ways. How do you know his ways? Get in his word. Amen. Get in his word, his instruction. Guess what happens? Guess what happens? We studied a couple weeks ago, Psalm 1. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You bring forth fruit, kingdom fruit, in due season. Your leaf does not wither. And whatsoever you touch shall prosper, so your soul prospers. Your leaf does not wither when the tribulation, when the stress, when the fear, when the anxiety comes raging in. Why? Because you're tapping into the source. That's right. Because the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. That's the path you should be taking. Bathe yourself in prayer. Bathe yourself in his word. Then there'll be no room for fear or anxiety to creep in. It's when you cease. It's when you cease, you give an avenue. You give Satan an avenue. You're not fully dressed with your armor. Point four, be steadfast in your faith and wait on the Lord. Verse 13 through 14, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is the hardest part. This is the hardest part, waiting on the Lord. We can get stressed, and we can get anxious in the waiting. What if God does not come through? That's what happens when we're waiting, right? And it gets to be long, and you start to get weary. And you start to question. Do you remember Job? How long was that pattern? Oh, 6 months, actually, but sure felt like a lot longer for him. I guarantee you, he was like, whew. What if God does not come through? Suddenly, fear can cause you to lose heart, to waver, and suddenly take what? What am I doing here? I'm taking control back. I'm taking it out of God's hands where I was resting and abiding. I'm not taking it back. I'm trying to control the circumstances with a man-made solution. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. In everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens when you do this? What happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding. Human understanding cannot comprehend it. And what will it do? It'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. It's a strengthening that happens. Your mind and heart is guarded. Now, as the thoughts come in, you're doing what? 2 Corinthians 10:5, you're casting down the arguments. You're casting down every high thing that exalts itself against whom? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of our Savior. And you bring every thought, every fearful thought, every stressful thought, anything the enemy throws your way, you bring it into captivity, into obedience of whom? Your Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a result, I love this. You know this passage, but you got to go a little bit before it. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, folks, there's a time coming. There is a time coming. I'm closing here, but when there are those who are not in Christ that will be overtaken with fear. Their hearts will literally explode out of their chest. And I'm telling you, that is not your destiny. You need to know this. You need to stand on this. That is not your destiny. He has created a place for you where you will dwell with him forevermore. That is not your destiny. You do not let Satan speak that to you. Do not accept that. Times will continue to get tough down here. Fear will try to keep in. But you, beloved, be strong, be immovable, and be steadfast in your faith. Go vertical and stay vertical with your eyes focus solely on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You feel charged up? I'm charged up. You guys don't look charged up, but I'm charged up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that it is more powerful than any two-edged sword. And I, Father, thank you for this time that we got to break bread. And that your word is building us up right now. And that we would recall the words that have been spoken when time draws near. When that fear rises up, Lord, that we would recall on the word of the Lord that was spoken. Strengthen us, Lord, these days. Let us be a light unto this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.